Welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Harry Potter's life is miserable. His parents are dead, and he's stuck with his heartless relatives, who force him to live in a tiny closet under the stairs. But his fortune changes when he receives a letter that tells him the truth about himself. He's a wizard. A mysterious visitor rescues him from his relatives and takes him to his new home, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. After a lifetime of bottling up his magical powers, Harry finally feels like a normal kid. But even within the wizarding community, he is special. He is the boy who lived, the only person to have ever survived a killing curse inflicted by the evil Lord Voldemort, who launched a brutal takeover of the wizarding world only to vanish after failing to kill Harry. Though Harry's first year at Hogwarts is the best of his life, not everything is perfect. There is a dangerous secret object hidden within the castle walls, and Harry believes it's his responsibility to prevent it from falling into evil hands. But doing so will bring him into contact with forces more terrifying than he could ever have imagined. Full of sympathetic characters, wildly imaginative situations, and countless exciting details, the first installment in this series assembles an unforgettable magical world and sets the stage for many high-stakes adventures to come. Today's Reader's Advisory is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by J.K. Rowling. Yes, I am still going to do the thing where I describe the book, even though, if you haven't read or watched the movies, you probably already know what Harry Potter is about. The Harry Potter series is set in the UK, but mostly in Scotland. It follows a young boy through the hardships of being a teenaged boy prophesied to defeat the great evil bad guy. Harry does, and no one likes the epilogue. Readers may also enjoy Carry On by Rainbow Rowell. Simon Snow is the worst chosen one who's ever been chosen. That's what his roommate Baz says, and Baz might be evil and a vampire and a complete git, but he's probably right. Half the time, Simon can't even make his wand work, and the other half, he starts something on fire. His mentor's avoiding him, his girlfriend broke up with him, and there's a magic-eating monster running around wearing Simon's face. Baz would be having a field day with all of this. If he were here... It's their last year at Watford School of Magics, and Simon's infuriating nemesis didn't even bother to show up. Or, The Magicians by Lev Grossman. Quentin Coldwater is brilliant, but miserable. A senior in high school, he's still secretly preoccupied with a series of fantasy novels he read as a child, set in a magical land called Fillory. Imagine his surprise when he finds himself unexpectedly admitted to a very secret, very exclusive College of Magic in upstate New York, where he receives a thorough and rigorous education in the craft of modern sorcery. He also discovers all the other things people learn in college: friendship, love, sex, booze, and boredom. Something is missing, though. Magic doesn't bring Quentin the happiness and adventure he dreamed it would. After graduation, he and his friends make a stunning discovery. Fillory is real. But the land of Quentin's fantasies turns out to be much darker and more dangerous than he could have imagined. His childhood dream becomes a nightmare with a shocking truth at its heart. At once psychologically piercing and magnificently absorbing, The Magicians boldly moves into uncharted literary territory, imagining magic as practiced by real people, with their capricious desires and volatile emotions. Lev Grossman creates an utterly original world in which good and evil aren't black and white. Love and sex aren't simple or innocent, and power comes at a terrible price. Or, Shadow Shaper by Daniel Jose Older. Sierra Santiago was looking forward to a fun summer of making art, hanging out with her friends, and skating around Brooklyn, but then a weird zombie guy crashes the first party of the season. Sierra's near-comatose abuelo begins saying lo siento over and over, and when the graffiti murals in Bed-Stuy begin to weep, well, something stranger than usual New York mayhem is going on. Sierra soon discovers a supernatural order called the Shadow Shapers, who connect with spirits via paintings, music, and stories. Her grandfather once shared the order's secrets with an anthropologist, Dr. Jonathan Wick, who turned the Caribbean magic to his own foul ends. Now Wick wants to become the ultimate Shadow Shaper by killing all the others one by one. With the help of her friends and the hot graffiti artist Robbie, Sierra must dodge Wick's supernatural creations, harnessing her own shadow shaping abilities, and save her family's past, present, and future.
Bonus segment! My personal favorite Goodreads list, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is on, is Birds of Magic.
Happy reading, everyone!
This month's library tidbit is all about dragons. Dragons are reptiles, typically of a large size, that appear in most cultures around the world. Some dragons have no legs and no wings. Some have legs and no wings. Some have no legs and wings. Some have back legs and wings. And some have four legs and wings. Basically, historical dragons can have any combination of legs and wings. In ancient artwork, dragons resemble large snakes or bears or lion-like creatures. They were probably inspired by actual animals, large snakes that were new to a traveling group of people, or by uncovered fossils. Dragons across the world have vastly different abilities. Some have breathed fire, some have exuded poison, some swim in water, some fly, some are malevolent, and some are wise. Around medieval Europe, Western dragons gained their wings. Historically, these are the only dragons outside of the modern era to have wings, but they are not the only dragons who could fly. Dragons appear widely in literature, and some of the most famous dragons include Smaug from The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, Ruth, the White Dragon from Anne McCaffrey, Temeraire from His Majesty's Dragon by Naomi Novik, listen to episode 3 for more about him, Falkor from The Neverending Story by Michael Ende, Drogon, Viserion, and Rhaegal from A Song in Ice and Fire by George R.R. Martin, Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon by Cressida Cowell, and of course, Norbert from Harry Potter by J.K. Rowling. In J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World of Harry Potter, there are several different types of dragons that are modeled off of the medieval style of modern dragon. Unusual for dragons, the dragons in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter could be considered monotremes, as they both lay eggs and produce milk. However, they do not have hair, which monotremes have. The dragons exist throughout the world, and each has evolved different features. All dragon blood has magical properties, and their heartstrings can be used as wand cores. Norbert, the most well-known of the Harry Potter dragons, having been given a name and featuring in a few of the books, Norbert is a Norwegian Ridgeback. Norwegian Ridgebacks are a large species of dragon. They are known to live around the coast of Norway and have been seen carrying off aquatic animals to eat. They are named after the black ridges that run down their backs and have a brown texture to their scales. They have venomous fangs and can shoot flame. However, they are assumed to have a less hostile attitude than some other breeds, and they give birth to black eggs. The Norwegian Ridgeback closely resembles the Hungarian Horntail. However, Hungarian Horntails are typically much more aggressive than the Norwegian Ridgeback. Hungarian Horntails are native to Hungary and are considered the most dangerous of all dragons. Harry Potter faced one during the Triwizard Tournament, outflying the notoriously capable flyer on his firebolt. Hungarian Horntails have black scales with brawn horns and spikes along their tails. They have yellow eyes with vertical pupils and can breathe fire up to 50 feet. They typically eat cattle, sheep, and goats, but they have been known to eat humans. The eggs of the Hungarian Horntail are cement in color and have a very hard shell. The Chinese Fireball has smooth, scarlet scales with gold spikes around its face. The Chinese Fireball has a snub snout and protruding eyes. These dragons have been found across China. Their diet consists of mostly mammals, with pigs and humans making up the majority of it. They are considered aggressive and deadly. When angered, a mushroom-shaped flame shoots from their mouth and nostrils, hence the name. Part of what makes Chinese fireballs so dangerous is that they are willing to share territory with other dragons. They are also considered to be more clever than other dragon species. During the Triwizard Tournament, Victor Crumb overcame a Chinese fireball using the conjunctivitis curse, binding the dragon to retrieve its egg. The eggs of the Chinese fireball are vivid crimson with speckles of gold. The common Welsh dragon is one of the least dangerous of dragon species. The common Welsh avoids humans whenever possible. Its typical habitat is Wales. Commonwealth dragons nest in higher mountain ranges and mostly stick to the reservation that has been set up for them. They are a grass green in color and breathe a thin jet of flame. Fleur Delacour took on a Commonwealth dragon during the Tri-Wizard Tournament, sending it to sleep with an enchantment. They are known for having a distinctive and musical roar. The Commonwealth's diet consists primarily of sheep and other small mammals. Its egg is earthy brown with flecks of green. The Swedish short snout lives predominantly in Sweden and is named after the shape and relative size of its snout. This dragon breathes a brilliant blue flame that is hot enough to reduce bone to ash in seconds. Since the typical habitat for the Swedish short snout is in the uninhabited mountains of Sweden, it rarely comes into contact with humans and has the fewest human deaths to its name. However, it is considered quite dangerous due not only to its extremely hot flame, but also due to being a quite agile flyer. Swedish short snouts are silver blue, and their skin is prized for protective shields and gloves. Cedric Diggory faced a Swedish short snout in the Tri-Wizard Tournament. He distracted it by transfiguring a rock into a dog. The Antipodean opali lives in the valleys of New Zealand and Australia. This is the only dragon breed known to live primarily in valleys. The skin of the Antipodean opali is pearl gray and they have glittering multicolor eyes, like opals. In contrast to their skin, they breathe a vivid red flame. They are considered the most beautiful of all dragons. The eggs of the Antipodean opali is a light gray. While the Antipodean opali is considered not particularly aggressive, there has been at least one known case of one going on a rampage and killing a large amount of kangaroos. The typical diet of this dragon is sheep, and they rarely kill anything unless they're hungry. Another dragon with magnificently colored eyes is the Hebridean Black Dragon. The Hebridean Black Dragon has brilliant purple eyes. The Hebridean Black Dragon has dark, rough scales and bat-like wings. A fairly long dragon, they can grow up to 30 feet in length. Their favorite food is deer, although they will carry off cattle as well. The tail of the Hebridean Black Dragon is tipped with an arrow-shaped spike. These dragons live off the west coast of Scotland and are named after the Hebrides Islands. While more aggressive than the common Welsh dragon, the other dragon native to the British Isles, the Hebridean Black Dragons are kept in check by the McFusty clan. The Peruvian Viper Tooth is native to the eastern range of Peru. These dragons are half the length of the Hebridean Black, around 15 feet, but once became so prolific that the International Confederation of Wizards sent in a team to bring their numbers down. Peruvian vipertooths are copper-colored with smooth scales and black ridge markings. They also have short horns on their heads. Like the Norwegian Ridgeback, the Peruvian vipertooth has venomous fangs, which give it its name. Feeding mostly on goats and cattle, the Peruvian vipertooth is known to particularly enjoy eating humans. This is the smallest and fastest breed of dragon. It is believed that the disease, dragonpox, originated with the Peruvian viper tooth. On the other end of the scale is the Ukrainian Iron Belly, the largest of the dragon breeds. The largest Ukrainian Iron Belly on record reached 6 tons in weight. While this breed is rotund and slow flyers, they are considered very deadly and are capable of crushing large buildings. It is believed that the dragon that protected Gringotts Wizarding Bank up until 1998 was a Ukrainian Iron Belly. The skin of the Ukrainian Iron Belly is a metallic gray-silver, and their eyes are a deep red. They are capable of shooting flame that reaches an impossible 3,560 degrees Fahrenheit. The native habitat of the Romanian Longhorn is the Carpathian Mountains and is now home to the largest and most important dragon reservation. The same reservation that Charlie Weasley works at. The Romanian Longhorn is dark green in color, with two long, glittering gold-colored horns and one smaller horn protruding off the tip of its nose. The Romanian Longhorn prefers to gore its prey with its horns and roast it before consuming. The horns of the Romanian Longhorn are highly prized as potions ingredients, and it was once hunted almost to extinction for these horns. An intensive breeding program has combated the plummeting numbers to a degree. A medium-sized dragon, they are powerfully built with large muscles. We hope you enjoyed this in-depth breakdown of the dragons in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, and we hope to see you at the Harry Potter Palooza. If you come, don't forget to head upstairs to the teen room and check out the dragon reservation. And if you see me and have a favorite dragon, make sure to let me know. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a una nueva edición de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Víctor y soy bibliotecario de Compromiso de la Comunidad aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. En este segmento les voy a hablar sobre un libro que tenemos en la colección en español. Es un título de horror que se titula El Diablo me obligó por F.G. Hagenbeck. El Diablo me obligó es un libro de ficción escrito por F.G. Hagenbeck y editado por la editorial Suma de Letras en el 2011. En alrededor de 200 páginas, el autor nos narra la historia de un diablero y cómo en su vida capturando demonios. Este libro es la novela ganadora del premio Bram Stoker en 2013 y está considerada como una de las mejores obras de terror por la Asociación de Escritores de Horror. Su escritor, de origen mexicano, es ganador del premio Otra Vuelta de Tuerca por mejor novela policíaca y es el autor de El Código Nazi, Matemáticas para las Hadas, Aliento a Muerte, Querubines en el Infierno, entre otras tantas. La sinopsis. Tras la turbulenta muerte de su hermano, el ex convicto Elvis Infante recorre los bajos fondos de Los Ángeles convertido en diablero, un cazador de demonios, ángeles caídos y otros seres sobrenaturales con los que se trafica en el mercado negro y celebran peleas clandestinas. Con un trabajo así, uno sabe que antes o después llega ese caso que se complica y que trae consigo a un sacerdote con dotes de seductor, una letal asesina con luz de Lolita Gótica y una secreta poderosa organización internacional relacionada con siniestro tráfico, mientras la narración nos hará saltar entre el East Side de Los Ángeles y las montañas de Afganistán. En mi opinión, lo primero que notas al iniciar la lectura de El Diablo me obligó es la cantidad de referencias literarias, cinematográficas y del mundo del cómic que se han dado bajo la historia de Hagenbeck. Tanto en la manera de narrar la historia, contada a través de varios personajes en distintos tiempos, pero con un personaje principal definido, como es el diablero Elvis Infante. Podríamos decir que nos encontramos en una mezcla maravillosa entre Pulp Fiction, Hellblazer y El Corazón del Ángel. El Diablo me obligó es, ante todo, una obra que desconcierta desde el principio. Hagenbeck muestra a un protagonista de lo más peculiar, Elvis Infante, un ex convicto y ex soldado que posee una tienda de objetos de santería, alebrijes y otros artefactos extraños en Los Ángeles, ciudad donde transcurre casi toda la trama de la historia. Pero lo suyo no es precisamente la venta de cachivaches embrujados, eso no es más que una tapadera de su verdadera ocupación, la de diablero. Un tipo que realiza exorcismo para capturar a los demonios y venderlos en un mercado negro ávido de ángeles, diablos y otras criaturas sobrenaturales para organizar peleas a nivel mundial. Se nota, y mucho, que Hagenbeck está involucrado en el cómic, además de en México ha trabajado para editoriales como Image y DC, y no se corta en absoluto en presentar directamente ese mundo lleno de ángeles caídos y demonios. Además, lo hace sin concesiones, con gruesas pinceladas, forzando al lector a seguir hacia adelante sin darle demasiado tiempo a plantearse dónde se ha metido. La idea de las peleas clandestinas entre ángeles y demonios y el submundo creado a su alrededor es a la vez imposible y creíble, dada a la oscura naturaleza del alma humana. El Diablo me obligó contiene en pocas páginas una historia bien llevada y resuelta de manera satisfactoria, pero que deja con ganas de más. El autor deja vislumbrar una realidad en la que podría seguir inventando nuevas historias, no solo en el campo de la novela, sino en el del cómic, y a lo mejor el cine y la televisión. Y es que Hagenbeck acierta con el uso del detalle realista en contraposición a lo imposible de su fantasía, logrando un libro ameno, ágil y sorprendente, que puede degustar tanto a los aficionados de la literatura, de la fantasía, como al lector con ganas de pasar un buen rato. Es todo por hoy, hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you do not know Spanish, check out the English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here are some upcoming library events to keep track of. November 4th, I Love a Mystery, They're Not All Agatha Christie, at 1 p.m. in the local history room. Listen to last month's podcast to learn more about that new book club. November 4th, Career Online High School Graduation at 6 p.m. in the Jenkins Wing. November 4th, Paint Like an Impressionist at 6 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. November 6th, Play and Grow Music at 10:30 a.m. in the Children's Program Room. November 6th, Beginning PowerPoint 2013 at 3 p.m. in the Computer Lab. November 8th, Lego Constructors at 4 p.m. in the STEAM Spot. Registration is required. November 11th, Timeless Tales presents Tom the Turkey at 1 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. November 12th, Facebook for Genealogy at 6 p.m. in the Local History Room. November 14th, Japanese Bookbinding at 10:30 a.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. November 15th, Fabulously Frozen at 4 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. November 18th, Homestead Act at 10 a.m. in the Local History Room. November 18th, Dinosaur Tea Party at 1 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. November 21st, Intermediate iPads 2 at 3 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. November 25th, Cold Process Soap Making Workshop at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. November 26th, Thankful Tales and Crafts at 1 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Remember, the library will be closed on November 28th and 29th for Thanksgiving. Have a great month, everyone. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Page Burn, where we review books that don't even exist. So sit back, relax, and listen up. First is Message of Fear by B. Mahoney Mays. Obviously, this book is epic because it's a must-read. This telltale book chronicles the strange but true happenings at the planet Lyall's largest public library. The stories will astound you and sometimes gross you out. As if things aren't weird enough on a daily basis, this story begins as a rebel human race who call themselves Circe take over the Galactic Library armed with a viral computer system called Dynex. Be afraid. The once tranquil and unassuming environment no longer exists. It is mayhem at every turn when patrons, staff, and Circe clash. The names have been changed to protect the innocent, and the not-so-innocent. Or perhaps you prefer this high-adventure middle-grade reader Voyage Wars by Are We There Yet? Obviously, this is epic because our main character finds herself stuck, traveling 800 light-years to visit grandparents in another galaxy, stuck between her little sister who suffers from space sickness, and the family pet who smells like wet Wookiee armpit. Will she survive the trip? Or will it be Voyage Wars? For the classic sci-fi enthusiast, check out Voyage from Mars. It harkens back to classical titles while leaving out all the misogyny and racism. Next up is Supernova Junction by L.L. Castro. Reviews are already in from some guy on the street who says this book slaps, and the cashier at Publix who says, the cover looked cool, and also meow, 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 by my cat. Last but not least, Atomic Adventure in Space by Melissa Stellar Bale, in which we find the purple aliens who eat only bananas are all named George. This special episode of Page Burn is brought to you by my cat Peeps, also known as Peeps LaRue, attorney at paw. Dun dun dun! Do you have a box made at home who just can't be bothered to cover it up? Do your humans just never get you no matter how much you meow 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 and bat at their faces at 4 in the morning? If so, call 1-800-TREATS and ask for Peeps. That's Peeps LaRue, attorney at paw. And they'll rue the day they broke the law. That's 1-800-TREATS 1-800-TREATZ, which is not actually enough letters to make a real phone number, and also Peeps doesn't answer the phone, but go ahead and give her treats anyway.